Yep, I'm ready.
Okay. Case number 24024, Middletown.
024, yeah.
Number 8 on the agenda.
Put it down somewhere else.
Morning, would you identify yourself, sir?
Good morning, Sergeant Elias Marks from the Middletown Police Department.
And your name is spelled?
Sorry, M-A-R-T-Z.
Thank you. Your opening statement, sir?
The background investigation revealed that the appellant had a criminal conviction for embezzlement from Michigan from 2004. This was not revealed on the submitted DPS 799C, and therefore it was rejected for its inaccuracy on the DPS form.
Would you like to make a brief statement, sir?
I'm sure. I did omit that information, but it wasn't, I wasn't trying to hide any information. The charges were dismissed. Because of the incident, how old I was at the time, I was able to participate in the mutual training act. Went through everything that the court requested in that, and eventually the charges were dismissed. And it was just my understanding, because the charges were dismissed, I did not have to reveal that information.
Sir, would you like to give your case in chief?
So the DPS form does ask if you've ever been arrested for any crime in any jurisdiction. Appellant answered no. It also asks if you've ever been convicted under laws of this state, under laws of the laws of another jurisdiction. The appellant answered no. The above answers were found to be inaccurate based on fingerprint results and a further criminal background check from the state of Michigan. Appellant was found to have an arrest and conviction from 2004 for the charge of embezzlement. When asked about the criminal charge by the investigating officer, appellant stated it was so long ago he did not think it would come up. The appellant is stating that he feels that it was dismissed, but based on the investigation, we revealed that the appellant paid a fine of $795 and was also sentenced to probation, which shows that it was a conviction. The background check and results and fingerprint check also showed that the original charge was actually felony embezzlement, which was then dropped down to a lesser misdemeanor embezzlement charge, which was then deferred under the Holmes Youth Training Act. But given that it still shows up, it does not appear to be a dismissal. Dismissal would not be present on the background check that was conducted.
Do you have questions for the police?
No, I don't have any questions.
Questions from the board?
Yeah, I think the amount of embezzlement was $795, and the fine was $75 that he paid, if I'm not mistaken.
Sir, which document are you looking at?
I'm just looking at my notes, so I could be wrong.
I was going off the investigating officer's report.
Yeah, it was a felony charge. It was pleaded down to the misdemeanor, and what I thought it said was the amount of $795, and he paid a $75 fine and got probation.
Do we have the triple I? I see that.
I'm showing on the...
We didn't get a copy of the triple I.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the discrepancy that I end up with where I don't know that I'm allowed to show a triple I to a civilian. I don't believe.
So the board, the board has all taken the.
My understanding is I'm supposed to provide information to both parties, and there's certain information I can't provide to a civilian.
Yeah, you would not be expected to provide.
I have something in the triple I here.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's what, so that was.
Yeah.
This is a copy of the triple I.
I think we can see the triple I, just to.
Or the endless response from Michigan. At the bottom shows probation 10 months, and I believe that's the fine. I mean, it's.
I see.
Again, I'm trying to interpret information from Michigan.
Right, and the charge was, it was more than 200, but less than 1,000, so the 795 is in that ballpark, even if.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, and my point was, the original charge listed, it was listed as a felony charge that he was arrested for, and that was pled down.
That's right, that's my understanding. Thank you.
Given that we didn't have the, it's a case from Michigan from 20 years ago. But I don't have record of that. I don't have access to that. That wasn't brought up. He didn't provide that to us.
Did you get the motion in order of discharge from probation from, did you supply this to us?
Yes.
Okay, did you get that?
No.
Okay. You want to see our copy? I'm just saying it might clear up. I could see how, yeah.
Is provided with the appeal?
I get it. He provided that to the board, I guess. So.
Yes, so this is something that could have been provided to us during the application process.
Yeah. So right above the probation officer's signature, it's the charge, embezzlement agent trustee is dismissed under the whatever.
I don't know how that.
But they may not, though.
They may not. It's a different state.
States are different. Some states, Connecticut, it's erased after it's dismissed. Other states, it is not still on the record, especially for law enforcement and things like gun permits, where they may release it for that purpose, but not employment. I do not know the Michigan law.
It says, his thing says, the youth offender, it's retained as a non-public record.
Yeah.
So this one will still show on a triple I.
Yeah.
It won't show on
public
record search, but would.
I do understand that can cause confusion for the appellant as far as Michigan telling you it's dismissed and dismissed in Connecticut would mean you don't have to disclose it. I can definitely understand that confusion there.
Having said that, now, same question as the previous case. Had he disclosed that information, would he be suitable?
This is, again, the difficulty I end up in. I can't make that decision. The decision is made by the chief.
You can give your opinion, though. Because we're all going to have our opinion.
It certainly would have changed the tone of the investigation, because when we're presented with, we don't have all the information, we don't have that case, we don't know why, we can ask him, but now we're already in the midst of an investigation where there's already been something that. Is it untruth? Is it whatever? So it changes the nature of it. Had that been provided at the beginning, I think it would definitely have changed the nature of the investigation, and it very well,
as I said,
very well may have.
The previous lieutenant, it is good to ask and see if they have a reason. There may be, and then we may or may not be here afterwards. I mean, again, could be that it's a attempt to hide it. It could be I didn't understand it, which seems to be what he's saying.
Well, they did follow up with him.
I know, we didn't get that.
No, so that's sort of on.
But that may have come later.
That only came to us. Yeah, I don't think you didn't supply this to the PD.
When I appealed, I supplied.
Yeah, so you didn't have that at the beginning.
Correct.
Yeah, okay,
that would have been helpful.
Yeah.
Any other questions for the issuing authority? Your case, sir.
I'm sorry.
Your turn.
My intention was not to lie on the process or to hide any information. Because this charge was dismissed and I applied for jobs, I've only lived in Connecticut for almost 3 years now. I've lived in another state. I had a concealed carry permit. I've purchased weapons before where I've had to have background checks run. I just did not think I had to disclose the information.
Well, where do you live now?
I think I'm in Connecticut, Middletown.
Do you have any questions for him?
happened back?
Sure did. I worked at a retail store. I was 20 years old in college, and I was working as a cashier. Customers would come into the store with their bottles and cans, go to the machine in the back, turn in those cans or bottles or whatever for their deposits, get a receipt, bring it to the cashier, get their money for it, and I would, in some cases, keep the receipt, and then go to another store and cash that in for the money also. Loss prevention. They put me on the register and I came in. I guess they already knew what was going on and just wanted to see me do it. They saw me do it. They called me to the back, to the loss prevention room. I knew exactly what the reason was, so I didn't put up a fight or anything. I gave them a receipt that I took then. Another thing is, maybe this doesn't matter, it's kind of important to me. I was not arrested. I was placed under arrest. I don't know that there's a difference there. But when I was back in the loss prevention room, I explained everything that was going on. They explained what was going to happen, and we're going to send the charges to the local authorities. They let me leave. I walked out, went to my car, went to my dorm. Then a few months later, it's when I had to go to court and explain everything, pled guilty. Because I was under the age of 21, I was able to participate in this Hyde Home Shoot for Training Act, if I'm not mistaken, and went through all the steps, and then the charges were dismissed.
Were you in college at that time?
Yes.
Did you stay in college?
No, I left after that. I eventually went back and eventually got my master's degree, but I left.
They threw you out. Yeah. You said something that I don't understand, and I'll ask you. Is there a difference between being arrested and placed under arrest?
As far as checking a box on a form as to whether you've been arrested, I don't believe there's a difference. There's a difference of a custodial arrest versus an arrest by summons, but they're both considered an arrest.
Yeah, it sounds like at the store, there were no officers at the store. Loss prevention took a statement, documented what they did, and turned it over to the police, and ultimately you were arrested sometime later.
Well, no, never arrested.
Well, no, if you were sent to court, you were arrested. Yeah. And you're actually convicted. Arrest doesn't necessarily mean handcuffs and a police car.
I think that was the differentiation between
you were charged with investment. Okay. Ultimately convicted.
Do you have questions for him?
No, that was my question. Thank you.
Questions from the board.
So what was the amount of money that was claimed to have been invested?
I want to say it was, I can't remember, I'm looking here, I think it was the $690, it was like $700 or something to that extent. Okay. I honestly can't remember.
And the ultimate disposition was probation and a $75 fine?
I think $75. Okay. But yes, probation fine. I had to take an economic crime class and community service, and then everything was dismissed.
Thank you.
Other questions from the board? Do you want to make any kind of final statement?
My goal here was not to hide any information. I've had no incidents since then, other than occasional speeding ticket. And I'm just hoping that you guys take that all into consideration.
Did you say you had a permit someplace else?
In Pennsylvania, yes. I used to live in Pennsylvania.
And do you have a final statement, sir?
As I said before, I'm not at liberty to overturn the decision of the issuing authority in general. However, given the circumstances and given the information on that document that stated that Michigan said that it was dismissed, I do have a better understanding of why he would have checked the boxes the way that he did. That's all I can
say. Okay, thank you.
Sure, this is denial by Middletown Police Department. Denials for suitability. The basis of the denial is the appellant's failure to disclose both an arrest and a conviction on his pistol permit application. This was for an embezzlement charge in 2005 from Michigan. The appellant seems to have been granted and successfully completed a probation program, which ultimately the charges were dismissed but would still show up on a criminal record. The incident involved a high-end bottle return scam at a store that the appellant worked for. He sold about $700 worth of illegally returned bottles or something. So other than that, since in the last 20 years, he has no contacts or negative contacts with the police.
Comments by the board? No comments. We'll go right to a vote. Dr. Conway.
Appellant.
Attorney Sinetti.
Appellant.
Mr. Gray.
Appellant.
Colonel Overton.
Appellant.
Colonel Lewis.
Appellant.
Chief Pleasant Street.
Appellant.
Appellant. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.